Hi there, Dojo Disciples. Another week and another winner. This time, it's Nathan. Congratulations, Nathan. You won't get your DVD in time for it to be a stocking stuffer, but maybe it'll help you ring in 2012. You too can be a winner, dear listener. Just go to famicomdojo.tv/survey and complete our survey to be entered in our random weekly drawing. However, there's only 1 week left, so make a count. Well, enough of that. I'm with the podcast. Happy Christmas, Hana Kwanzaa, Vink.
Whoa, is Vink a holiday?
It is now.
Well, happy change of the... I got nothing.
Winter solstice, I don't know.
Merry Christmas?
Merry Christmas.
Is that? Can I do that?
That works.
Okay?
Although, you know, in Japan, Christmas isn't really a religious holiday so much as... a lover's holiday? That's what I've heard. I wasn't actually in Japan the last time I was close enough to experiencing it firsthand.
It depends who you are. If you're a kid, it's pretty much Christmas as Christmas is here, you know, without pesky religion getting in the way. but, you know, kids wait for Claus, you know, and they get a present, and, you know, it's pretty standard. And then when kids are too old to believe in Santa Claus, then they're discovering these people of the opposite sex, so
right.
Christmas becomes kind of a romantic holiday.
So what you're saying is the love hotels fill up around Christmas time.
That's very true, actually. that's very true. You'd have to reserve ahead of time, I would assume.
Didn't Nintendo run a chain of love hotels for a while?
They did. That was during the time they were also making vacuum cleaners.
Oh, my. Yeah,
Nintendo tried a lot of stuff before they hit on video games. They still make playing cards, though.
Yeah, that's where I started, right? I was actually boning up a bit on that information because I wanted to write an article for Powit about the reasons why Nintendo won't ever go third party, because it just keeps coming up. And mostly because, like, the 3DS... their relatively recent woes have been since reversed, so no one's talking about it anymore. But then, you know, we've been talking about it on our show about, you know, the problem of digital downloading and whatnot. But I'd rather think of, like, happier times with Nintendo before everyone's like, stop making great video games that makes you billions and billions of yen.
Keep in mind, with the conversion rate, a billion yen is worth approximately $13. No. that joke is dated. Right now, you know, a billion yen is worth like $2 billion,
something like that.
Oh, the poor American dollar. But I get paid in yen, so
right.
It's like I'm getting a raise every day.
Oh man. Well, I'm thinking of a time when the yen wasn't so strong against the dollar, and the first time I got a Nintendo Entertainment System, which was Christmas of 1988.
1988, yeah.
That might be
when I got mine too.
Really? Yeah, I was 8 years old at the time. We've been renting them off and on. And I've been playing them at my friend's house every morning before school, and my parents were finally able to basically save up and get me one. Along with that came the games Zelda 2 and Simon's Quest, which were both sequels to very popular video games. And I never – well, I played the original Zelda a lot, but I never really played the first Castlevania until much later. So those were the games that I remembered and loved the most, which is probably why I'm one of those rare weirdos who even likes Zelda 2.
I don't know. I liked Zelda too, and I played much more Simon's Quest than any other Castlevania game.
Yeah, same here. I think three.
I thought it was really good. Yeah. I don't get the complaints, but well, I mean, I get the complaints now, but like, I don't know. It was so much more epic than the original Castlevania, though, which was more of a, you know,
yeah,
just kind of a regular platformer.
I liked the story elements, and I guess you can say a lot of the subsequent games sort of picked up on that, but maybe did it better, I guess. I think the other one I played was the first Game Boy Advance one.
Oh, you haven't played Rondo of Blood?
Nope, no Rondo of Blood. Maybe a little bit of Super Castlevania IV. Certainly no Symphony of the Night. Not yet, anyway.
You should play Rondo of Blood if you liked like the traditional Castlevanias, you know? Okay. Because Symphony of the Night really starts kind of the Metroidvania, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Where it's, you know, which is great, which is excellent as well, but I don't know, maybe it's because of my memories of like the earlier Castlevania games, but I really like Rondo of Blood a lot because it's like it's kind of like the last in the original type.
Yeah, I really need to either like track stuff like that down and or shoot. Did I pick up? I think I only thought about picking up some of those games while I was in Japan, so I don't have you know, I have stuff for like Saturn and I forget what else, like Dreamcast when I was there, like back in 2003, maybe a little bit of PS2 stuff, but
yeah.
So,
Rondo of Blood was an expensive one to get for a long time. Well, but now there's a lot of different ways to play. You don't have to have the import, you know, PC Engine now.
Yeah. So Christmas was really, really great because after I had a system to play things on, that meant every year afterwards I had to get a new game. At the very least, maybe my birthday too, but Christmas for sure. Always new games coming out. But I remember best and most and first Zelda 2 and Castlevania, and those lasted me a long time because they had to. I didn't have anything else.
Christmas. I mean, that really was game day. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
Because, I don't know, like, my birthday was in March, and that was a game day too, but it would be like, here's your birthday present. Now go to school, you know?
Right.
You can play it when you get home. And so that wasn't really game day. And summer I had nothing but vacation, but like I didn't have any birthday or anything special, any special event in the summer, so that wasn't game day. But Christmas was game day. Open up your presents, then retreat to your room and just play video games.
Yes,
ideally still in pajamas with feet.
Well, I think at that point I was a bit too
old. But I mean, that kind of stopped around the time I was 21. But it's going to reemerge if someone buys me a Snuggie.
Oh, man.
Well, Snuggies don't have feet.
Wait. Idea.
Write that down. $1 million idea. Snuggies with feet.
All right, no one listened to this podcast until we got this developed.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember any other Christmases in particular. I think I got the Willow NES game on a Christmas as well, but that might have been my birthday. I don't really recall, but I do remember playing it, holed up in my room and beating it within one day, and my parents being furious that they had spent the money on that and that I had already beaten it. And it's like, no, I love this game. I'll play it again.
Yeah. I rented the game. It was called Puss in Boots. Did you ever play this one?
No.
It had a weird name in Japan, but like, it was based off a Japanese cartoon that never came to America.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
But I remember I beat that one during a rental cycle, and I thought, whoa, I must be really good at video games. But like, looking back on it, it's probably like, maybe it was just a very easy game.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I got Mario 3 on Christmas also, so that would have been like 89, I think, right? Is that right? I think that's right.
89, yeah.
It sounds like-ish. Yeah,
so because by 90 we were already getting excited for the, you know, Super Nintendo.
Yeah, because I was reading Nintendo Power and stuff. So yeah, it must have been out by then. So yeah, let's game.
See, the Wizard movie came out in 89.
Mm-hmm.
And that was quite a bit before the game actually came out in America. So yeah, that
that would have gotten me excited. I'm sure, because I was playing it in those Play Choice arcades, like the first 4 or 5 levels or so that whatever I could afford to pay for, really. And so I was familiar with the start of the game at that point, but you know, just to be able to plumb its depths. No fat Italian plumber, pun intended. Was super, super interesting. So I don't think I had played very much by the time I got it new. And that yellow box, that was like iconic. You know, we didn't really have anything like that in America before, because the cartridges were all yellow in Japan, but I wouldn't know that for the next 12 or 13 years or so.
Yeah.
And I'm just really sorry that I got rid of that box because it was just so, it just stood out so well.
Yeah. Didn't the re-release of Metroid have a yellow box too?
I don't know, but yeah, that would certainly evoke the disc system disc.
Yeah.
Right.
But anyway, Christmas was good for gaming. But what about Christmas gaming? Christmas is a pretty big deal, right?
Sure.
I mean, everybody knows about Christmas.
Sure.
So there's got to be like Christmas games, right?
I'm a little hard pressed to think of very many. Although one example that stands out because I was mentioning, you know, looking up stuff in Japan before, something I didn't even know existed was like I found a used copy of Christmas Nights.
Christmas Nights is a good game.
Wow. So, I mean, that's definitely Christmas themed. And I picked up, like, I guess it was some kind of a limited edition. Do you know?
That one came out in 95, 96. I think what you're thinking of with Christmas Nights is it was quite limited in America.
Well, no, I say that because it says, like, right on the case that it's, like, a limited edition or something.
Like, it was a standalone game in Japan.
Okay.
Oh, I tell a lie. It had its own case and stuff, but it was a pack-in in Japan as well.
Okay.
With the bundle in December of 1996.
Okay. Yeah, I was just thinking that was so funny because despite that it was supposed to be so limited, like it was super easy to find it in those used game stores like 7 years later. So
and in America it was given away as a pack-in with some other things like Daytona USA Champion Circuit Edition, and actually it was bundled with issues of Sega Saturn Magazine.
What?
It was like one of those things on the front cover or something.
Wild, okay.
And you could rent it at Blockbuster Video, only Blockbuster Video.
Oh, shades of GameStop.
Yeah. there were a few Blockbuster exclusives, though. Play Fighter Tournament Edition was a Blockbuster exclusive.
Does Play Fighter count as a Christmas game? Because there was that weird snowman brawler guy.
Bad Mr. Frosty.
Is that what his name is?
Yes, that actually was his name. Like, not Mr. Frosty, it was Bad Mr. Frosty.
I never really played it. I think I was aware of the game prior to the N64, but that was the version that like seemed people were most excited about because it was like, you know, something ridiculous like Clay Fighter 63 and a third or whatever.
The N64 just wasn't all that good though, because I think the novelty had kind of worn off because, you know, when you have it on the Super Nintendo, it's like, whoa, it's clay animated. But by Nintendo 64, people were like, you know, it can actually do 3D CG, you know, in real time.
Oh, I suppose.
Like, you know, Donkey Kong Country looked revolutionary when it came out, but like now games can actually do that with polygons, so you don't have to, you know, make CG models and basically turn them into sprites.
Yeah, like, you know, even Donkey Kong Country Returns does that now, and it's like, well, you know, it's a fun game, but that, yeah, that novelty of its graphics is totally worn off.
Still a great game, though. Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Well, you mentioned Clay Fighter. I think the only, like, ice... the one actual game I played around that time was Killer Instinct with Glacius, who was an ice man. So
when Christmas time comes around, do you think of Killer Instinct?
What
kind of terrible child are you?
Man, I've mentioned how much I've played Killer Instinct 2 and the arcade version, right?
Well, yeah.
I guess 2 is the only came out in arcades, but... You know, I would go to Ultra Zone a lot, which is a laser tag chain here in America, and there's still one operating in Madison, Wisconsin. Though they don't have a copy of Killer Instinct 2 anymore, but I, you know.
Well, then why even go? I suppose for the laser tag.
Yeah, I suppose. But I got my license around December of 1996, which is 2 months after my birthday. Don't ask why.
Okay, that's
all right. And so, you know, once I was able to drive, I was driving into Madison and going and playing laser tag like every week for a really long time. And playing lots of KI too.
Instead of dating.
Hey, I brought potential dates there, or tried to at least.
Instead of successfully dating.
But hey, I could pull off a 64-hit combo with Jago, so it's
well.
Who needs to date?
Who needs dating? Yes.
Maybe that's the problem. All right, I'm depressed now. I don't want to talk about the rest of these games.
Everything turned out okay.
It's true. It's true. Gosh, what? I mean, it's really hard to think of anything that was necessarily Christmas themed, but there's like easily like a lot of snow themed stuff I can think of. Like one of my favorites, if we're talking about N64 still, one of my favorite levels in a game was that snow level in the Mario, Super Mario 64. Especially when I learned that there was like more stuff you could do besides just getting like the one star in each level. It's like, oh, I can go back and...
Is that like the one where you have to like save the penguin?
Yeah, yeah. It's like this baby penguin you gotta like save and you... There's this whole slide, like series of slides and obstacles and whatnot.
The first escort mission in video games.
Yes. Later it'll be Mario himself being escorted for an entire game by Yoshi.
Earlier.
Retcons.
Earlier, right?
Well, I mean, was it earlier?
Well, it was that game was Super Nintendo,
it
right?
It was. Uh-oh. So I guess that was the first escort mission, was that entire game.
Well, Baby Mario whined a lot less than that girl in Resident Evil 4.
Maybe I'm thinking it was later because I didn't play it until later. Because that crying... Oh God, the crying!
You know, everybody tells me that game is so great, and apparently it is. You know, but all I ever did was rent it, and Baby Mario's crying was so apparent to me that I couldn't get any enjoyment out of that game.
Just mute it; you'll be fine.
I guess, but the music in the game was pretty good. I guess that's the reason to have it.
There's that.
I don't know. I'll give that one another shot.
But I love that snow level so much, and it was one of those things between that and that one water level where there's like that giant eel swimming around. Like just both those things, I felt like were really there to show off the graphical capabilities of the system. Because even though now the effects look kind of cheesy, it was like snowing in this level, you know, and there was just this stuff everywhere. You get stuck in it, and I would actually go to the top of the level and jump and see how close to the bottom I could get. Just sailing and like get your Mario's head stuck in the snow, you know, physics wise makes no sense whatsoever, but it's just a lot of fun.
Snow in games is pretty rare. I mean, up before the N64 generation, I can think of a couple. I think one of the Samurai Showdown series for Neo Geo had it, and it was like one of those things like, look what we can do, you know, and
right.
I think one of the last Blade series had it too, but yeah, it wasn't something that you commonly saw because it was kind of a hard effect to do.
Right.
Because if you make the sprites a sprite with snow that you move over, it doesn't look right.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do individual sprites, it goes way past the limit of most hardware back then, which could like you know produce a double digit number at most.
Right. Yeah, I'm trying to think of other stuff like, you know, there's obviously like snowboarding and skiing games, but that's not necessarily Christmas themed. It's just winter sports.
I
never really played a lot of those, but like I guess 1080 snowboarding is a pretty popular franchise, or at least it was.
I never really played the N64 version of 1080, but I did play Snowboard Kids.
What's Snowboard Kids?
Snowboard Kids is like a big head. I don't know. It looks pretty much like, you know, the Wii Sports type games now, I guess. But it was fun and it was easy. Didn't take itself very seriously. who made that Snowboard Kids? Bandai? Hudson? I don't know.
Wow.
One of those big Japanese companies.
Does Ice Climbers count?
I don't know. Ice doesn't necessarily mean Christmas, right?
Especially not around here lately. Like, we only just got snow where I live, like, this week. And it's the week before Christmas, really, so...
Don't you live in Wisconsin, though?
You'd think, right? But I live in the southern part of Wisconsin, which hasn't been so so blessed, I suppose. We saw, like, my wife's brother lives farther up north, and you know, it was like they had a nice coat of snow like a few weeks ago, but we didn't have anything. We actually got out of town and came back, and there was snow on the ground, so we kind of missed it. But it's actually sticking around at this time. It's been like in the 40s and 50s occasionally here. Like, you know, it's kind of crazy.
Thanks a lot, Al Gore.
I'm losing my Christmas spirit, you know, but people are still decorating their houses with lights and the front lawn. Is this like a Midwest thing or a Wisconsin thing only? Do people know what I'm talking about when I say this? You can like just drive around the neighborhoods and watch people with these ridiculous displays. You know, it's not just like in National Lampoon movies or something like that. This actually happens.
Oh, yeah.
People have very competitive displays.
I miss that, though. Like, a few restaurants or, like, some businesses who want to do a Christmas-type theme, maybe we'll string up a couple of lights. But it's mostly barren inside and outside, unless you go to a department store. Then they're they've had Christmas stuff up since October.
Right.
And I'm sick of it by now. It will actually be gone on Christmas Day.
Oh, that's funny. that doesn't make any sense.
Christmas Day they're busy setting up for the New Year stuff. So.
Oh, okay. Because there's only like a week left. Sure.
Yeah. So, but it's crazy. It's up for months and months and months. And then you actually go on Christmas and it's done. You know, they spend all this time making these Christmas cakes and stuff, but where do they go on the 26th? I have no idea.
I remember this too because a lot of KFCs have like a full size, you know, like 1-to-1 scale statue of Colonel Sanders, and around Christmas they dress him up in a Santa suit, like
it's
everywhere.
Creepy. It's creepy. Yes, they do.
So weird. Okay, I think I've decided on the image for this podcast.
All right. I'm sure you can find one.
Well, I have some of my own archives. Like I took
the
a picture.
The life-size Colonel Sanders mannequin is creepy to begin with.
Right, right.
I don't know why they have that. Because we don't have that. I mean, I don't know if we've got any viewers from Kentucky. Confirm this, though. You don't have that, right?
Yeah, I've never seen this in America.
Japan didn't visit Kentucky and go, Kentucky Fried Chicken, look at these mannequins. We need that, too. No, I think Japan just went, all right, there's something missing. Creepy mannequin out front.
Yeah. We're going to have this idol to a old white dead guy to sell our chicken.
I mean, we love the colonel.
Naturally.
Right?
Naturally.
I don't know. He might have committed some war atrocities, but let's hope he didn't.
Wrong kind of colonel, I think.
No. What other kind of colonel is there? Popcorn. That's Orville Redenbacher. I know.
Well, they have popcorn chicken, so maybe.
Ah, I really don't think that's it.
Okay.
Well, anyway.
Well, yeah, I remember I was in Kyoto and the whole general Kansai area around Thanksgiving again, you know, back when I was there in 2003, and there was just this enormous Christmas tree inside was it the Osaka or the Kyoto station? Probably the Kyoto station.
Okay.
And it was like four stories tall. I swear, I don't know where they got that thing from, or if it was like all artificial. They just made it, but it was huge. They had like this big open space to put it in, and I thought that that was crazy.
But I think that's just it. Japan doesn't quite get Christmas, but they sure do love it.
Yeah, right.
I guess that's why Christmas things have been inserted into some of their games. Definitely.
Sure, but why can't we think of that many?
I don't know.
I'm sitting here like racking my brain, and the only thing I can think of is like the DuckTales moon stage, but that's an outer space. There's no snow up there. There's ice in the poles we discovered, but that's only recently. Maybe all like, you know, the white dust makes me think of Christmas. So you're out in space in your helmets. You have to be well insulated just like you do in Wisconsin. That's good. That's a pretty good Christmas level.
Wow. All right. Anyway. I think the real reason we don't see many Christmas things is because it just limits the game too much for when you can sell it and when you'd think to play it.
I suppose.
Because, I mean, Christmas Nights was a pack-in. at Christmas time. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And elf bowling is an atrocious game that people suddenly like around Christmas.
Sure.
But for the most part, I mean, if you make a game Christmas themed, it's you know, it's hard to want to get into that spirit to play it when it's not Christmas. I think Blue Stinger for the Dreamcast had a Christmas stage.
Blue Stinger?
Yeah. No, I just met her. sorry.
Wah, wah.
Blue Stinger? No, I just met her.
What is this?
Blue Stinger. It was a launch title for the Dreamcast.
Oh. Well, since I didn't get my Dreamcast until after it was already dead.
Well, the thing is, unless you bought that game at launch, there was really no reason to buy it. It had pretty bad play control and pretty... But it was interesting. It was interesting. That company went on to make the game... one of the last... Actually, they changed their name to Crazy Games first.
Okay.
And they made Illbleed. Do you know this game?
No.
It was one of the last Dreamcast titles released in America and got horrible, horrible reviews. And I think it's maybe my brother's favorite Dreamcast game.
Oh no, poor Ken.
No, it's
well, I mean, I don't know if you're right about this. Maybe you're just slandering him right now, and he should write in and be like, "Dear Famicom Dojo."
Dear Famicom Dojo, I did not give my consent to talk about me in your podcast. Please give me as many free products as you can.
Well, too bad, because he recently helped us out in a video that is yet to the light of day.
Yes, yes. Ooh, one that will be quite good.
Oh, yeah.
Quite good. But anyway, Illbleed might have had a Christmas stage, too. They had a stage that was based on Toy Story, but it was like sex Toy Story.
What?
And it was... I think it might have been Christmassy. I don't
feel
uncomfortable. Let's move on from there. Okay.
I'm trying to think. There's that Home Alone game, right? I was just thinking about Home Alone recently, and it's like a pretty consummate Christmas thing. There's like all this Christmas music, like really classic stuff you hear all around the holidays. It takes place at Christmas. There's like excerpts from The Grinch, which has been on TV lately.
I love Home Alone. In fact, recently, this will sound strange, but recently I downloaded the soundtrack to Home Alone.
Well, I guess there's all that music.
It's good songs. It's like that, that White Christmas that was like do 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 do.
I dream it.
You know that really cool one. I couldn't find it anywhere else, but I'm like, it was on the Home Alone soundtrack. I'll just get the Home Alone soundtrack.
Well, so the game must have been great, right?
No, there was no Home Alone game. There were no Home Alone games.
I'm pretty sure I played it, though.
They didn't have one on the Nintendo. They didn't have one on the Super Nintendo. They didn't have one on the Game Boy. No Home Alone games were ever produced.
I'm pretty sure I didn't play the one that wasn't on the NES. I'm pretty sure I didn't play it a lot. It was so terrible.
That game is my knob.
Yeah, it just never ended, right? Like you'd go in there and I don't even remember like what you were fighting anymore. It wasn't the robbers, was it?
Fighting,
it was like
you were fighting like toys and stuff. Or like when you went into the basement, there were bats. Or I mean,
yeah, like everything killed you, and it was impossible to get very far because it just got harder and harder, right?
Yeah, and you couldn't jump well, or like you could only jump on open drawers or something. But the fact you could still jump like a million feet in the air.
Right, right.
And the robbers were mentioned in cutscenes. And I remember on the back of the game, they showed all these digitized graphics of the robbers and stuff. And I'm like, hey, that looks pretty good.
And, wrong.
And you know how they say like, fool me once. Mm-hmm. Shame on you. Fool me twice. Shame on me. I rented it for the Nintendo, and it was horrible. It was
right.
Horrible, horrible game.
Right.
But then the Super Nintendo version came to my local video rental, and I'm like, oh, maybe it's better on the Super Nintendo. You know,
why would?
But it was the same game. It just made the pain look slightly in 256 colors or something. It was just a horrible game. And then my friend got it for Christmas from like his grandmother, and he was like, thanks. Because, I mean, it just had no redeeming merit. It was like, it was made by THQ or Acclaim, one of those. It could be either, because both of them pretty much staked their claim at the time of like the world's worst cash-in movie titles.
Yeah, that and E.T., I'm pretty sure, are at the top.
But they must have been like, so we've been developing this game for a couple of years. We call it Pointless No Fun Chair Jumping Game. And right now we've got like a squirrel or something, but we can put in that Macaulay Culkin kid, right? All right. Done. Let's have lunch.
Yeah, it makes about as much sense as either of the NES Back to the Future games.
Hey. Ugh. My favorite scene for the Back to the Future game is when they had those guys with the pane of glass coming by and you throw a bowling ball at them.
Just like the movie.
I know. It was just, and all the girls with the hula hoops that when you run into them kill you, you know. That was the thing Michael J. Fox worried most about during the filming of the movie.
Right.
Because he was doing hula hoop scenes without a stuntman. And that scene in the movie where you have to throw 50 shakes at bullies who are coming into the diner where you work behind the counter for some reason. And just like the movie, if he's off by just a fraction of a millimeter, the shakes won't hit.
Yeah, totally.
I think it's only in the director's cut, though, because if the scene is based on the game or the game's based on the scene, that scene must have gone on forever.
Yeah, maybe that was the Eric Stoltz version that we never got to see.
All right. Anyway, I think much of what we just said was from a previous podcast.
It's true.
It bears repeating. But the Home Alone game, if you got that for Christmas, would ruin your Christmas.
Yeah. Basically.
Well, you know, we don't rip apart games very often, do we?
No, we don't, because we only tend to talk about the ones that we like.
We usually stay positive, but like, I just, that game hurt me deep.
In places you didn't even know existed.
Like, I'd played bad games before, and there's games now that I go back to and I go, oh, how could I have gotten any enjoyment out of this game at all? Because, you know, often the games that I got for presents were like, you know, whatever my parents found that was heavily discounted. So I got like, I got Fester's Quest, you know, that Addams Family game.
Mm-hmm.
Which, it was a festering something.
Oh, I didn't mind Fester's Quest that much,
but actually. But there was some good in it. It was just really hard.
Yeah, it was.
But basically, it was like Addams Family version of Blaster Master.
I suppose.
I mean, it really was.
I hadn't thought about that.
I didn't like the 3D levels, but I mean, other than that, it was not too bad. It had no business being an Addams Family game. That didn't make any sense at all. Right. But as a game itself, it was hard. It was really hard, but it had pretty good gameplay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it made no sense as a licensed title, but The Home Alone was like my favorite movie.
Yeah.
And the game was just an abomination. I'm waiting for the one person listening to our podcast right now who's like, no, that game was brilliant and is going to write me about why it is. Bring it.
You make a good point about games that, if they're seasonal like that, don't make a lot of sense to release. But there are games that you play all year round. Okay. That can have Christmas-themed elements. I'm thinking MMOs in particular could possibly have something like that. I'd only played it for a couple of years, but I seem to remember one year playing City of Heroes. That, like, there were these constant attacks by these giant snow creatures that took like, you know, 30 heroes to bring down. So you could go trolling for them if you really wanted to, but most of the time they just like appear out of nowhere, and like whoever was around, if they were high level enough, would just have to take it down. And it was I think they're like little smaller dudes too that like preceded them, so that you knew one must be around somewhere. And those were smaller ones that like a lower level guy could get. So I remember, I think I have screenshots actually of taking those things down. And that's the only time I've played any MMO type Christmas themed thing.
I think Phantasy Star Online had a Christmas thing, like some decorations put up around the hub world.
Interesting.
Animal Crossing.
Animal Crossing. Oh, you know,
the first Animal Crossing before they decided to go non-real holiday.
Yeah, I didn't play a lot of Animal Crossing myself. I know that Phil Bond loves it, and I think that's what bothered me about the game, was that so much of it was tied to actual like dates, I know people like would change their system clocks, like on their GameCube or Wii, to fake out the game.
One of the largest arguments I ever got in with my roommate. You remember Nathan, right?
Oh, naturally. Hi, Nathan. How's it going?
I don't think he listens to us. Probably because of this incident. He was gone for a week for something. I don't remember what. But I was supposed to every day go and light the lamp in the lighthouse in his Animal Crossing game. Because if you do it every day for like 7 days, you get some present or something. And I forgot on like day four. But you know what? Now looking back on it, I did it for 4 days. That's more than anyone should ever do for anybody, unless they're getting something a lot better than an attaboy at the end, you know?
Yeah. It's like there's like no reward, and he couldn't be bothered to do it himself because he was, you know, busy with his life or whatever.
But that's the thing. But like, you know, I think I was pretty much done with Animal Crossing shortly after that, until the next one came out, and of course I bought it. And then I was done with that. Until the next one came, you know, but
jeez,
and I'm totally done with the series now. Totally done.
Great. Fantastic.
Until the next one comes out. You know,
but, the Wii U Animal Crossing.
But yeah, I think the things like that, the App Store has been good for Christmas stuff. If you want Christmas stuff.
Okay.
Cause they'll just release an app update that has like a Christmas themed level or something. And when Christmas is over, they'll take it away again. Doodle Jump does that.
Oh, sure.
And then there's, of course, Christmas versions of apps. I quite liked Cut the Rope Holiday Gift. Did you get that?
I might have. See, some of those apps, I just have them. You know, like I think I have Angry Bird Seasons, but I never check it for updates, really. Like, I download them, but I don't really go back into it to see, like, oh, there's this new Halloween level or something. You know, no idea.
You never play them either.
Yeah, I don't, right.
I've been looking at your game center, and you're not game centering enough.
Yeah, that's what I've been told by people. Lots of people, all two of you.
All right.
You and Phil.
Okay, everybody on the Famicom Dojo podcast. Right now, Sean Corse's achievement points are 645.
I have no basis for reference for this. I have no idea if that's good or bad. I imagine it's terrible, but
your friend Caleb has 7,710.
Wow, how many do you have?
I have 5,522 at this time.
Well, you know, I'd have a lot more if one of my favorite games, Robot Unicorn Attack, had a Game Center version. Oh, wait.
It does.
Actually, I think they updated the old one with better graphics, Retina display, and Game Center capabilities. But I'm in particular.
In fact, that's where 50 of your points come from.
Yeah. So I played a little bit since that update. And it was stealthy. I just download stuff when it gets updated. I don't really check it afterwards. And so, like, you know, I just went in one day and noticed that, like, the stars looked different. And I was like, wait a minute. I can make out those dolphins now, too. What's going on here? Sure enough. But no, I was super excited that there was a Christmas version of a Robot Unicorn Attack. Not because it was a Christmas version, but because they picked one of the most obscure Christmas songs they possibly could have. It was a Christmas song by The Darkness that was never released in any other albums. I only heard it because I was a huge nerdy fan of theirs, and I think it was like, oh shoot, it was,
is
like
that a separate app?
Huh?
Is that a separate app, the Christmas version?
Yeah, like all three versions I'm aware of are all separate apps. So there's Ooh. That, that's like the heavy metal version, then there's the Christmas version. It sounds like a traditional Christmas song-ish, but it's something by the freaking Darkness, who's like, I don't want to say a joke heavy metal band because they're silly about it, but I really like their music, to be honest. So
who's the joke?
It's me. They're actually touring again. They're back together, and they just announced American tour dates, and they're going to be coming to my neck of the woods in February, and I really want to go.
You know, that's when bands do come to our neck of the woods. You pretty much know they've reached the end of their cycle.
Well, I mentioned the Amari Tones.
I can't even think of the number of times Styx has played my hometown.
Wah, wah. I imagine the Amari Tones, you know, being a Christian heavy metal band, must have some Christmas music.
I would assume so. Groove Coaster, that app I suggested to you a few months back, has Christmas music, trance Christmas music in its new update.
What? What's a trance Christmas song?
Apparently, Jingle Bells trance mix.
Wow. That's cool.
You never downloaded that one, did you?
No.
Oh, well. I think one of the first bits of like downloadable content, like in-game purchase for the Xbox 360. This was after the whole horse armor fiasco.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a Christmas outfit for the main character in Rare's game. What was it called? That launch title, what was that?
Oh.
I was really excited about it when it was originally coming to GameCube, but then when Microsoft bought them, I just didn't care anymore.
Yeah, neither did anyone else. I vaguely recall this, but I never really played the game very much. Interesting. Okay. Well, I did play Perfect Dark Zero.
The game, Cameo, Elements of Power.
Cameo. I know it was K something with a K.
Yeah, something like that. You could get like a Christmas hat for her character, and it was like $2. And I was like,
"Really?
Nope. Really? No, thank you."
Well, I'm sitting here staring at a copy of Sims 2 Pets, and it occurs to me that I've at least seen like those stuff packs you could get for Sims that are Christmas or holiday themed. So that's a little different because. There's some kind of like seasons or something that you can get that I'd never bought for Sims 2. That's a whole different kettle of fish. That's a PC game, but definitely like an add-on and an afterthought. Like no one does this deliberately. It's like, I'm going to make a Christmas game. It's going to sell a million copies. No. But
some people make Christmas games, but they don't usually sell very well.
But the publishers seem to be interested in getting games out by Christmas and or selling lots and lots and lots around this time of the year.
Yes, and it's the biggest season really, and that's the season that like saves Nintendo every year. Everyone's like, oh, Nintendo's doomed. Christmas, and Nintendo's fine.
Right. Like I remember like before the 3DS price drop happened, there was one particular article that's like, you know, a reasonable analyst would give Nintendo until Christmas to declare the 3DS and or the company dead. But even Nintendo didn't give Nintendo until Christmas to blah, 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 blah. So, but they were doing fine before Christmas, and I imagine after the numbers come in for this month, they will be doing even finer.
Well, I don't know. Vita came out a couple days ago. No, I can't.
Yeah, it's out in Japan, right?
It is, but I don't know why. I don't understand. I saw an ad for the Vita on television.
Yeah.
And it was like, with Vita, you can play Hot Shots Golf. And I'm like, okay. And I'm just like, where, you know, what's the, what, why do I need a Vita? And then there was another episode with a really nerdy looking kid, like hitting all the buttons on his Vita, like hitting all the face buttons and hitting all the back buttons, and there's explosions going out on the screen, and he looks really happy about it. But I'm like, I don't want to be that guy.
Yeah. Well, you know, all the same, people in America are like, well, what's the point of releasing the Vita if it's not going to be around Christmas? No one's going to buy it. Is that true, or is
there,
other problems?
I don't think that's true at all, because I don't think, you know, I teach.
Right.
You know, I have every year, and I've been doing this for all 8 Christmases I've been in Japan. I always ask my students, what do you want for Christmas? It leads me to some very scarily accurate, like, you know, because I teach about 1,000 students.
Sure.
And there's only a couple kids who are at all interested in the Vita at all.
Interesting.
The one this year, everybody wants the 3DS. The younger kids want it for Mario. The older kids want it for Monster Hunter.
Dun, dun, dun. Is that why our Monster Hunter video has gotten more hits lately?
Probably not.
Japanese kids,
Monster
actually.
Monster Hunter is not super big outside of Japan, though. But anyway.
It's our most popular TGS video, though. By far.
That's because of the girl in the background.
Is that what it is?
Definitely. And that scary cosplay thing that's running by. Yes, if you haven't seen that video, scary cosplay thing. But, I mean, last year, you know, people wanted the PSP. Not the PSP so much, but PSP games.
Right.
And, you know, before that it was the Wii and Wii Fit. And, you know, like the thing my students want usually kind of determines. Now, I don't teach older kids, though. I don't teach high school. I don't teach, you know. So maybe in that demographic, there's more people who are into the Vita. But the thing is, one thing I noticed with the older kids, like my junior high school kids, is they don't want video game systems at all. They say, I want a smartphone.
Yep.
And I think that, more so than the 3DS, is the rival.
Sure.
Much more than the 3DS. I think that's who they're competing against now that they've added a touch screen on it.
Right.
What I think their main rival is the iPod Touch, which is cheaper.
To the Vita?
Yeah.
I think their main rival is their 6% market share.
6% market share? What are you talking about?
Well, in America, the PSP only has like a 6% market share right now.
Ah, who cares about America?
Oh.
Sony sure doesn't.
Right?
Well, for me, PSP in America was pretty much dead when they started doing the Marcus PSP ads.
Oh, of course.
Did you see these?
No. What? I have no idea.
Well, you saw the Kevin Butler ads, right?
I don't know. They were PSP ads?
Do you watch television?
Not really.
Okay.
I watch it mostly on tape delay now.
Sony had a pretty good marketing thing with these Kevin Butler ads. I don't even live in America. Why do I know this better than you? Anyway. And they were kind of like sarcastic ads or whatever, but it really helped the PS3.
Okay.
It was part of their like "It Does Everything" campaign.
Oh wait, is that like the vice president of blah, blah, blah,
yes, whatever? Yes, yes,
oh,
yes.
Oh, that
yes.
Guy. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Those guys were quite clever, but then they tried to do the same thing with PSP. So they had this little kid named Marcus. I think he was 12, 13.
Okay.
And he would just get in your face and be like, and he was like, "You're playing games on a smartphone? That's a baby's toy," or something.
Oh.
Or wait, maybe I'm thinking Back to the Future again.
Again.
No, but he was talking about needing the PSP can play kid games.
Oh.
But the thing is, the games that they showed were like, well, what was really funny was they showed a guy playing on his iPhone, and the game he was playing was called Lame Castle.
Wow.
It looked like doodle art style. And it was a pretty good cut at the iPhone, because a lot of those games really are crap.
Right.
And they showed him, or you can download for only $10, like Hot Shots Golf.
Wow, all of $10. I can get 10 games for that much.
I know. What's really funny is someone after that ad came out made a game called Lame Castle.
No.
Yep. It And actually, it's a pretty fun game. I have it on my phone right now.
Okay, I have to try this out now.
But it's one of those like endless runner games, but it's pretty fun.
Cool.
But anyway, so those ads, I just thought they just talked down to the audience. They were just like, if you want real games, get this. But it was at that point, like what they were using as their examples were like, you can download games for it if you have bought a memory stick. And if you
proprietary Sony memory formats.
If you pay a lot of money. But Vita just seems to be the same way. Like,
well, I mean, they call it Vita, but it's just another PSP. It looks like one.
Now, this is strange because when we played it at TGS, I thought it would be a pretty big thing.
Yeah.
This is really a reversal from my opinion then, but like now, I don't know, that smartphones are becoming so dominant.
Right.
And that the 3DS has actually become a player now, like who has mature games. And I'm not sure what the demographic for the PS Vita is, except for like the really high end, like tech loving gamer.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I'm saying here?
Yeah, I think so. No, actually, I have no idea.
I think like the Alienware crowd, you know?
Oh, okay.
Because, I mean, it's an amazing piece of tech.
Right.
But, like, it seems that it has tons of features, you know, video playing, stuff like that, that the PSP did, but, you know, better. But then it's like, why doesn't it just have a phone as well?
Oh, well, you know, we could always get the Xperia Play.
Play? Xperia Play? Yeah.
No. I don't think I will.
Not even that hot girl at the booth was enough to make me interested in that.
Yeah.
I don't know. As I said, it felt good if they could get some killer apps for it, but they lost their biggest franchise.
Yeah. Wait,
I don't think people realize exactly how big Monster Hunter was, but 20% of all software sold for the PSP was Monster Hunter.
Uh-oh. Yeah, that sounds like trouble.
No. 20%. For the three, you know, for the Nintendo DS, 20% was not Mario. 20% was not even Pokemon. Because, you know, there was a very large diversity of games on the system.
Right.
There was no game that was 20%, you know. I know someone's going to check my numbers and go, well, if you add all the Pokemons, including the Game Boy Advance ones and the blah, 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 blah. Okay, maybe. But okay, let's say that it was the same as Pokemon.
Okay.
They lost Pokemon.
Right.
It's a big deal.
You mean Monster Hunter isn't Pokemon?
Well, that would be like if PS Vita got Pokemon.
Right.
You know, Mario Kart or something, you know, like something crazy like that. It's basically a portable PlayStation 3, just the same as the PSP was a portable PlayStation 2.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they'll get a title. Maybe there will be some portable version of something that explodes in popularity like Monster Hunter. They need it. But right now, coming on Christmas, I don't see what they've got. Uncharted's not super big in Japan.
Right.
They need Christmas nights.
New Christmas nights.
As a pack-in.
No.
Their controller would work awesome for Christmas nights.
Oh, dear.
Have you played it? You should play it. It's really fun.
Have I played Christmas Nights?
Yeah.
Yeah, I own it, remember?
Yeah, but have you played it?
Oh, a little.
Yeah.
It's just like Nights, but Christmassier, I guess.
I guess, but... Okay, I guess the last question is, what are your games of Christmas? Because it's one of the only times I actually get to game during the year, because I've got about 10 days off.
Sure, well, I mean, I'm still trudging my way slowly through Skyward Sword. That came
is it
out.
That bad that you have to use the word trudge?
Well, no, it's not that the game's, you know, it's like a 50-hour plus game to play through from what I've been seeing from people, and I'm like 24 hours in or so, but I don't have a lot of time I can devote to playing it. It's the only Christmas time game that I really have this year. I'm not really planning on getting anymore until Mass Effect 3 comes out. And I was thinking about that actually a lot this whole time. how, like, you know, a lot of games need that Christmas holiday boost, but, you know, this game's coming out in, like, March. You know, it's going to be 9 months before Christmas, and I'm sure they'll have something by then to help boost sales by. But, you know, that franchise is going just on the strength of its brand right now. It doesn't need Christmas to sell a million copies or whatever.
True.
So, yeah, just Zelda.
Yep. For me, I'm hoping, and if anybody's listening to this podcast, maybe someone will be picking me up Mario 3D Land or Mario Kart 7. If not, it's Persona. I'm going to play Persona 3, Fez, and Persona 4, which I have opened neither of, but after the feedback from the last podcast, with people letting me know how great of these games I've been missing, I think that's where I'm at.
Yeah, I should probably play Persona 4 because I have it, and I might as well. It's just there,
and it's not yours, right?
It's not mine.
You should really get that back.
All right. Maybe when I'm done with Zelda, so 2012 at this point. So, all right, not much more to say, I guess, except Merry Christmas, Vink.
Yep, Merry Christmas to you as well, and Happy Hanukkah, and any other holiday that you might be celebrating. And to our wonderful viewers, what are you playing this Christmas? What do you wish Santa Claus will bring you for Christmas?
Right. Yeah, well, this podcast will be out 2 days before Christmas Day, so yep. Plenty of time to totally not do anything else preparing for the holidays and just listen to our podcast.
Definitely.
If you want to give the gift of our podcast, just, you know, share our awesome links on Twitter and Facebook. We're on Twitter and Facebook, Famicom Dojo, on both of those. Of
course, gift that iTunes. Keeps on giving.
I know, and we're free, so it's a free gift. You can give the free gift of Famicom Dojo podcast to all your friends. Isn't that lovely? How much better can that get?
That's the Christmas spirit right there. So anyway, what'd you get, or what do you hope to get? Leave a comment. We'd like to hear. And any recommendations for games to keep you warm during those cold, cold Christmas nights? Christmas nights! Oh, yes!